Lord, I trust everybody's come with expectation once again. And let's stand and sing that song, said, I found that blood that pardoned.
Said, I found that blood that pardons. Said, I found those stripes that heals. Said, I found strength for my weaknesses. I found grace to cover all my sins.
Said, I found that blood.
Said, I found that blood that pardons. Said, I found those stripes that healed. Said, I found strength for my weaknesses. I found grace to cover all my sins. This is Jesus.
Blood, amen. Amen. Sing that song, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, amen.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Search much deeper within, through the way things are feeling. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord. King of endless words. No one could express how much you deserve. And though I'm weak and poor, Lord, all I have is yours. Every single breath I'll bring you. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my
about him. Amen. Sing that song, Here I Am to Worship, Here I Am to Bow Down.
In light of the world, you step out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this
reminder that service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. for all those who missed that update there. Amen? So Wednesday at 7. Sure, we all have unspoken prayer requests like make known by number first hand. I'm going to ask our brother Simon if he'd come lead us in prayer. Also, we're tithing the offerings.
Praise God, saints. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we love you, Lord. And God, Lord, just, Lord, we want to come into your midst, God, with praise, Lord, and worship, God, Lord. And Lord, and not let this flesh overcome us, God, Lord. But Lord, we want to press through this veil, God, Lord. And Lord, may this veil, Lord, help us, Lord, to crucify this veil every morning, God, Lord Jesus, Lord. And not let it have preeminence in our lives, God, Lord. Lord Jesus, we just want to worship, Lord, lift our hands, God. Lift our voices unto you, God, Lord, as our brother preached, God, Lord, worshiping under the seventh seal, God, Lord. And we know we're there, God, Lord. And Lord, just help us, Lord, especially me, Lord, to get out of the way, God, Lord. And just, Lord, just help us just to worship you in spirit and in truth, God, Lord. We have all the truth, God. Every mystery, Lord, been wrapped up for the most part, God, Lord. We see things so clear, God, Lord. You've given us understanding, God. But, Lord, we have to get into the spirit of it, God, Lord. And Lord, that's our great desire here, Lord, is to fulfill the whole worship act, God, Lord, in spirit and truth, God. We love you, Lord, this morning, Lord. Bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. Bless those that came out, God. Help us to press on, Lord. And we love you so much, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I mean, enjoyed having our brother Brooks around, amen. Amen, that was great. Amen. Sing that song, Burn, Burn, Holy Spirit, Burn in Me.
Burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me, and set my heart on fire, and fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's full desire.
Seal. If you really pay attention to the words that you're singing these songs, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just take hold of that, right? Let's sing that song right now. Every promise in the book is mine, amen.
And every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I am trusting in its love. Every promise.
I'll fly away. Amen. And some glad morning when this lock is door, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory get down. I'll fly away in the morning and down the dark. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. And when the battle of the stock has gone down, I'll fly away.
Praise God. Good to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. Praise God. Bless God. Are you glad to be a child of the King? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. Praise God. I don't know about you. I'm just really excited this morning. Praise God. Why are you excited, brother? I should be excited every time I get here. Amen. I pray those who were able to make it last Wednesday, sounds like you did a pretty good job bringing your seventh seal worship here. Amen. Making God feel loved. Praise God. And by His grace this morning, we've gathered it once again together. You may be seated just for a moment here. We just like to send our greetings to all that were able to make it this morning. Praise God. We got, for the first time, we got little Briella Jewel Smith in the house of God. Amen. So we appreciate all those who gave and all those who really put a blessing in our lives by coming by and giving. Some gave food, some gave cards, some gave little gifts there. And we just want to say we appreciate that with all our heart. Amen. And by the grace of God, we're just blessed. She's just been a little princess to us. Amen. I don't know. I think we're going to be fighting over if she's a daddy's girl or a mama's girl. But anyway, by the grace of God, she's just a real bundle of joy there. Amen. So we praise God for that this morning. And I also praise God just because He is God. Amen. He is my person of affection, right? He's my object. God is an object of affection. Amen. I'm glad I got a God this morning. Amen. Praise God. And for those who've been celebrating Christmas, God bless you. And as you celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, amen. And some of us, we celebrate it every day by the grace of God. So we just kind of take pick and choose, however that works out, amen. But certainly no condemnation there. But yet, we just thank God for a little season. You know, this is the time when a lot of people come together. And, you know, a lot of times it's more of a family thing than a Christ thing. But yet, you know, we had a Christmas night service as far as if we were going to do anything about God, we wanted to come here on a Wednesday night and worship God, because Christmas is not a day of celebration, not a day of family stuff, but it's actually supposed to be a day of worship to Jesus Christ. Amen. So we just appreciate all those who were able to make it out there as well. And this morning, as you can see here, those who missed Wednesday night might not be on the same page, but we're going to try to have communion right after service this morning. I pray that's all right. It's a good time for us to observe the commandments of God. Praise God, because communion is one of the only commandments that we do have in the New Testament. Praise God. Oh, you ought to be praising God all over about that. Why should I be praising God? Don't you realize that you can look into the Old Testament and you can find the bondage that they were under as far as everything was a law? Do you realize that there was a man that went to gather sticks on the Sabbath day and they stoned him outright just because he went to work on the Sabbath day? Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm jumping into a future sermon, but by the grace of God, do you realize how free you are this morning? Do you realize how God, He gave us two commandments? Oh, hallelujah. Let's do our best to give God all we have for those two, right? Amen. Might have to sacrifice a little bit. We're going to have two services today. But by the grace of God, we're just going to have one. Just enjoy ourselves and make sure everyone partakes in communion who want to. Amen. You still have the liberty to partake if you desire. Amen. But yet, anyway, I am ecstatic. I'll tell you what, I feel like God is opening Himself. It's like almost a new book to me. I don't know if the seals passed by me somewhere, and I'm just feeling great with God, but I do feel awesome this morning. Amen. I was up till 1:30 this morning. God coming inspired me, and I was up till 12:30. I'm writing away. And then I tried to fall asleep, and that didn't work very good. I'm just sitting here, woo. But I feel good. Amen. Even without coffee, even though I did get a cup this morning. Praise God. Happy to be in the house of God. Let's just sing that song. Maybe one more song. We only got one service today. Let's just sing that song. I'm so happy. Amen. I'd like to sing that song Brother Brooks sung the other day. There's no one like Jesus. I don't know if I have it memorized already, but maybe we can try to sing that. So if we have those words, we'll try to sing that.
There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. For there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. There's no one. For there is no one. There's no one like Jesus. There's no.
Like our God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of you ain't been searching all about. Some of you ain't been turning all about. I know you've been walking all about. Praise God. Oh, I just love that song. Higher, higher's got its competition now. Praise God. And let's just get out our Bibles this morning. Let's get into the Word. The Lord kind of opened something up to me a little bit last night. I pray it's a blessing to you. Pretty simple thought. I completely find myself amazed at God because God is a God like no other God. And He hides and puts so much stuff in the Word of God. You cannot exhaust it. If you want something new from God, God can give it to you all the way around. And you find the same truth. I told a brother this the other day, I believe it was Brother Steve, but I told him, I said, if you notice me getting a little away from quotes a little bit, I said, I am at a place right now in my experience with God that I feel like I have a revelation of this message. But now I've been so concentrated on finding it in the Word of God. And everything, and here's the issue that I'm coming up with. I'm not exhausting what I'm finding in the Word. But the Word is actually opening up more and more to me as I go this direction. Amen. Brother Cam, you're getting away from the message. You're getting away from quotes. I'm not. I'm just stuck in my thought. Praise God. But you should understand, if you've been hearing the Word, how God is trying. He's trying to identify Himself, not just in a messenger, as far as solely leaving your dependence on a messenger, but He's placed it from the message of the messenger into the Word of God. It's already been in the Word of God, but now you're able to take that message and put it right in front of your face. Just one passage? Oh no, it's all the way through this Word. Amen. Let's go to Revelations 1:6 as you stand for the reading of the Word. Who are able? Amen. I'm going to do my best. I don't have a lot. Well, I got a little is a lot with me. But just have a little thought here this morning. I believe it will be a blessing to you. God brought this to me late last night here as I was resting on the other four sermons I wanted to preach. So He gave me a different one. So I pray this will be a blessing. I pray God will be satisfied with this offering. Amen. Yet, Revelations 1:6, we've been here a lot lately. You'd think we'd be acting like kings and priests right now. But Revelations 1:6, it says, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever." Amen. I'm already a king and a priest. Praise God. Matthew 17:24. I know there's more to this, and God didn't reveal it to me, but I'm going to preach to you what He did reveal to me. Amen. Matthew 17:24. "And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute?" 25th verse, "He saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" 26th verse, "Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. And Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free." Praise God. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love You this morning, God. Lord, with all my heart I say that, Lord. And I believe that the church, O God, is trying to bring forth a real worship to You this morning, God. We're trying to love You, God, the way You deserve to be loved, God. And Lord, we're just asking, God, as we've worshiped You, Lord, we pray that You've accepted that worship, God. And now, Lord, we want to bridge it into the Word of God, Lord, the time where we're so excited, God, that the very God of heaven is going to come, Lord, and open His Word to us, God, and break that Word with us, God. And Lord, we have communion this morning. We pray, Lord, that You give us, oh God, the ability, Lord, just to say what You'd want to say, God, that You'd be free, oh God, to be God in this church, God. We just pray, Lord, even now, Lord, that You just move ourselves aside, oh God. Lord, free us up, God, from all the bondages which we have this morning, God. And Lord, set us into Thy liberty, Lord, Thy freedom, Lord. We just ask, God, this morning, Lord, that, Lord, You would, oh God, come and speak through these lips of clay here, oh God. And we pray, oh God, that You'd allow Your children out there, Lord God, in the congregation, Lord. May they be yielded, God, that the very God of creation can pull right through them, God. And pull on the very God that's up here, oh God, to bring the head and the body to a united status this morning, God. We just ask, God, You'd have Your way. Speak to us, God. Lord, I know what You've shown me, God. And I pray, oh God, that You would be gracious to reveal it to us, God. We just ask, Lord, now that You just, Lord, come to this little service here, God. We don't have a lot, God. We don't have much to give. Lord, we don't even find ourselves very worthy, oh God, of anything because, Lord, we have nothing to place a worthiness on upon our own merit, God. But, Lord, we found ourselves, Lord, being by faith the elected seed of Jesus Christ. God, bring forth Thy word now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And the children of God can sit down. Well, now that you've all admitted that you're the children of God, I'm going to get into a little thought this morning. We'd like to entitle it, Then Are the Children Free? And if we had a topic this morning, it would be, How free are we? And I pray that God would add His revelation to this. We find ourselves in this day and age, we find ourselves so blessed of God. I like it how the brother said the other day that you should feel blessed just to feel a pull in this hour. Because the world around you is so dark. It is a darkness that can be felt. And yet, you say, I don't have much light, but yet even the flicker of light in great darkness shines very bright. Amen. And we know where God's bringing us, where God is taking us, but yet to identify ourselves, a lot of times we fall short of what we are because of the lack of revelation of what the Scripture says. And let me say it like this morning. You are free, church. You have liberty this morning. And yet so many times we find ourselves being lured away from Christ and lured into the bondage of what this flesh is, as far as this flesh is a sinner. This flesh, it has failed. This flesh will always fail until it is transformed and changed into the image of holiness, right? Which we understand that you cannot fully take that on until you have a glorified body, amen? Until you receive your theophany, right? That you will literally be under the trap of sin until you leave this world. Praise God. But if we were free this morning, how much happier would we be? Yes, it sounds like a continuation from Wednesday. But yet, how happy would you be? How free would you be in the house of God? How much would this service count to you if you realized what God actually had done for you? Amen. Now, this morning, we want to once again bridge on into a thought. And like I said, this will give you greater clarification about who you are. It will show you just a little bit more how free you are. Because you see, we don't just have to look at a scripture and says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And we stop and say, okay, there it is. But you find so many more witnesses in this Bible that what the Bible, it is not in a one scripture thing trying to tell you that you are free. But yet the whole book speaks of your freedom. The whole book speaks of a bondage and want and God coming around and setting you free from that bondage. Amen. If you can't leave service today with a smile on your face, it's time to go back to your first works. Because the Word should free you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going somewhere this morning. Don't worry. I'm on my way. I just already got my foot out the door. But yet, this morning, if you've got some amens, don't say, I'm going to give an amen because Brother Cam needs an or wants an amen. But do you realize that you're not amening a preacher, but you're literally amening the God of all creation? And when you sit in your seat and you do not amen that God, it shows that you do not have the amen God. The God that said He was the same, you don't have that God. You're falling short somewhere. You're lacking faith somewhere. Because church, if we were aligned with this Word, even your prophet said the signs would be multiplying amongst you. Praise God! And it all comes back to the revelation of the atonement. So I tell you this morning, this might be a little bit deeper, but it is the same simple thought that you'll find yourself entertained into. Praise God. So, as I've been saying recently, so should we just dive into the Scripture now and allow God to positionally place you in His Word? Whew. I looked at Brother Simon's phone the other day when he had taped me singing. I'm sitting there, I'm looking at myself like, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm up here flipping my head around and jumping around and going like this and doing all sorts of stuff. I said, wow, I guess that's what God wants me to do. But I'll tell you what, I'm enjoying myself. You say I'm bound. I don't see any of you going like this and flipping around. Hallelujah, I'm just what? I have so much energy coming from me that I just can't. I start singing, I just get excited. I start preaching, I just get excited. But I'm identified in the Word. You say, Brother Cam, that's just an act. Well, praise God. You call it what you want. But all I know is that when I start singing, something just wants to move. I got to let something move. So when you start praising God and nothing wants to move, then what's going on? Oh, we're starting this quiet? With a sermon start and a title and a topic like that? And we're already getting quiet? Praise God! Hallelujah! I was telling the brothers the other day, yep. I was telling you, Brother Brooks the other day, I said, I remember when I first come into this message. And I said, Brother Brooks, I remember sometimes you just literally tore the hide off of all of us. And said, I still remember that time that you were tearing the hide off me. And I remember that I was up on my feet going, hallelujah! Right. Praise God! And the whole time I'm getting tore up. I said, brother, that's the revival that we were having. Even when the Word was hard, I was hallelujah. Even when the Word was good, I was up on my feet. Hallelujah. This is the house of correction. Praise ye your God. Hallelujah. The evidence is that He comes. So if He comes, we should be what? We should be lively stones. We should be what? We should be standing there receiving what? The soon coming King. Remember, when Jesus come riding on a mule, they said, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. Which is what? It means my deliverer. It means my deliverer. So they're looking at a God, or God, right, the Messiah, right with them, and they cried out, my deliverer. Meaning what? It doesn't matter if it's a good sermon or a bad sermon. As far as if it's hard or easy, He's still Hosanna. The problem is, we don't want to be delivered. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus didn't say, I'm Hosanna, I'm Hosanna. They cried out and said, Hosanna, Hosanna. Is your deliverer here today? Is he walking through the aisles right now? It should make the bride cry, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Oh, praise God. Now, let's move in our Bibles here to Matthew 17 again. And I want to get into a little line of thought here. This will be a blessing to you if you're a lover of the Word of God. In Matthew 17, 24, it says, And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? And notice he said, and he saith, Yes. So, a man in Capernaum come up to Peter and he said, Doth not your master? Now notice, he did not come to Peter or come to Jesus, but he come to Peter and he says to him, Does your master pay tribute? He doesn't even approach the man to pay tribute. But he comes by the way and asks Peter, one of his chief disciples, that doesn't your master pay tribute? And Peter says, Well, yes, of course he does. Now, what is a tribute? A tribute is an annual or stated sum of money or other valuable thing paid by one prince or nation to another, either as an acknowledgement of submission or as the price of peace and protection, or by virtue of some treaty. Remember when Solomon, the scripture said that the land was at rest, but all the enemies in the area, they paid tribute to Solomon. Which is what? It was a submission that he was the king. He was the ruler. He was the one that what? They had to submit to him. Praise God. So a tribute is something you have to do because of what someone else did for you. Or someone else's leadership or power over you. Oh, hallelujah. So notice here, the man comes up and says, Doesn't Jesus pay tribute? And Peter says, Well, of course he does. I know this don't fully make sense yet, but it's going to. Because it's a very simple thought. But you'll find out where this is going. So notice, he says, Well, yes, of course he does. So now, Peter, by admittance, is saying, Yes, Jesus is under tribute. Saying what? That Jesus is under submission to the tribute. He has to pay it. He is what? He is just what? He's a bondman to the authority. So what is Peter saying? He's admitting to this man. He's saying, Yes, Jesus is a bondman to this system. Now notice, he did not ask Jesus. He couldn't have asked Jesus. Why? Because he was not the bondman. He was the king. Oh, hallelujah. So notice here. So now, Peter brings this forth. And he heads back to Jesus. and says, okay, Jesus, there he is. Let me say something to him. But look at the word. It said, and when, 25th verse, when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him. Praise God. Don't you see it? Just like Brother Brooks said the other day, you find that God, he is not an action level God, but God goes to the thought of the individual. Remember in Isaiah 14:12, remember God said that Satan said in his heart, all he had to do was think it. And God called out what was wrong there. Remember, just like Jesus so many times, it said, and Jesus perceived in their hearts what they were saying. He didn't even give them a chance to say it. He knew what was on their minds, and he went right after it. You don't have to say it this morning. There is a God who knows if you want to be here today. He knows if you want to worship Him. He knows if He's your God. You don't have to try to fool me that you're religious. It's not fooling me. You can't fool God. If you brought a problem in here, you can't fool God. You might be able to fool me, but you can't fool God. If you don't stand with the elect this morning, because maybe you don't want to play Matthew 15 very well, or Matthew 18, 15, you can't fool God. He knew what you were thinking the whole time. He knows how long ago you picked that up and how long you've been carrying it. He knows how free you are. And notice here, just by your thoughts. So notice, when Jesus sees your thoughts, then He brings the action. Oh, hallelujah. You know, a lot of you would have blasphemed if God didn't move on your thought first. Praise God! That's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now notice here, so he walks through the door. Notice Jesus prevented him. He already knew what he did. He already had it figured out. And he now brings forth a little parable or a little statement to Peter and tries to tell him something here. Notice what he says. He says, "What thinkest thou, Simon?" So, it's your opinion now. What do you think? See the problem? You want God to force you. You want God to force you to be free. God can't give you a free moral agency and force you to be free. You have to be free by your own desire. What thinkest thou, Peter? And notice, he says, of whom do the kings of earth take custom or tribute? Okay? Says, of their own children or of strangers? So now he brings a very simple question to Peter. And he says, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? What did Peter do? He already said that Jesus was a bondman. Yet Jesus was the Messiah. But notice how Jesus says this. Of whom do the kings take a tribute? love strangers or of children, of their children? Now, this is where we're bridging you in already. He says, who has to merit this? Strangers or children? As far as who pays the tribute, who has to say, who has to pay of their own merit to be accepted into this system? He says, children, the king's children, or strangers? And Peter says, well, obviously, strangers. Now, let's show you something here in Exodus 30, verse 11. I want to go very quickly and show you this tribute so you can understand what I'm talking about. A lot of you, when I said tribute, you're saying, okay, well, give the Caesar what's Caesar's. But that's not what this is talking about. It's not talking about paying the Roman sum. As far as being under taxation from the Roman system, this has nothing to do with that. Because notice, this is a free will offering here. It's almost like you're coming to the house of God. Because remember, if you don't pay your taxes, you'll go to jail and lose everything that you are. But notice the question they bring to Peter. They say, does your master pay tribute? Saying, does he belong to this? What is this? What are we paying tribute to? In Exodus 30, verse 11, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, pay attention to that, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. So now what? God is telling Moses, take up an offering for the house of God. Praise God. Let's continue. It says, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. So God's saying to Moses, I've already brought these people out of Egypt. I've already done all these things. Now, since you're under the law, what you have to do now is take an offering up of those who are numbered. Let's continue. 13th verse. This they shall give everyone that passes among them that are numbered half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and a half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Everyone that passes among them that are numbered. Now notice, it says number, number, number. Praise God. I told you it's a little bit deeper. I hope it's all right. He says, everyone that passes among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more. The poor shall not give less than half a shekel. When they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your soul. So, what is this tribute? What is this tax? It's completely for the atonement. Oh, hallelujah. I lost everybody, didn't I? Where you all at? 16th verse. Now, notice, very quickly. No, notice, the rich don't have to give more. The poor don't have to give less. Everyone is equal in the tribute. way is the shame for every man or woman. Hallelujah. 16th verse. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Brother Cam, it's way too early for this. It's almost noon. So now, let me put the picture together so you can start amening again. So here, when God spoke to Moses in Israel, He said, now we're going to take up an offering. You have to give the offering because the work is what? The work is your gift for atonement. You have to give this half shekel because it is what? It's God giving back to you your atonement. Meaning what? You have to give this money or the blood of Christ is not on you. But the fact of it is, now Jesus comes down hundreds and hundreds of years later, and Israel's taking this tribute up, the half shekel. And Peter comes around and runs in this guy, says, doesn't your master pay tribute? So doesn't Jesus have to pay for the atonement? And Jesus, what? He wasn't there to defend himself. He wasn't there to what? To stand there and say, well, wait a minute. But he allowed, by predestination, Peter to come forth and to say, yes, he has to pay it, to teach Peter a very important lesson. Why? Because Peter's saying that Jesus, you have to pay for the atonement. And Jesus is not, he says, what? He's literally saying to Peter, you can't buy the atonement with money. I didn't come to pay the price of atonement with a half shekel. I come to pay the price of the atonement myself. Hallelujah. Because notice here, he's showing what? He's literally putting Jesus under a false admittance, just like Mary and Joseph did when they said, your father and mother, when he was 12 years old, left in the feast of Passover. He said what? He said, remember, your father and mother have been looking for you. And Jesus said, who's my father and mother? I'm about my father's business. So now we have more people, what, inadvertently getting Jesus into the picture that he is what? He is not the Messiah, but that he is some man. But it was all done to confound. Oh, hallelujah. But notice this, because remember, this is coming back to you. Remember, now Jesus is bringing it to Peter, outright rebuking him when he comes in here, kind of backing Peter up. You say, boy, Peter did a lot of stupid things. Here's one more thing you didn't know about. So now Peter walks through here and notice the tribute. It is for the service of the tabernacle. Mean what? You're paying the money to upkeep the tabernacle. Now notice, Jesus was not going to pay this. wasn't going to give him a half tribute. He wasn't seeking them, say, I got to pay this tribute. Well, why? Don't you get it? When he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it back up. So they're looking at Jesus and saying, pay the money for the temple. And he says, I am the temple. Oh, my Lord. I know it's deep. But do you see what God's trying to show you? Well, not yet, because I'm not all the way there yet. Because this is not just about Jesus. This is about you. So notice, as we pick up, do you see what happened here? Everyone has to pay the equal price for the atonement. It's the law. So to continue this, you would literally have to believe that you have to do something for the atonement. Well, don't you see the problem? We're still putting ourselves in the position that we have to pay something to God for what He did. Do you not realize that when Christ comes, the payment or the tribute to God was done away with? No longer did you have to pay that. The only time you would have to pay that is if you were a stranger. Amen. I'm going somewhere. I know that. Woo! Matthew 17:25. So now Jesus says to Peter, he says, what do you think, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? And Peter saith unto him, of strangers. And Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. So notice, he's not saying, then is the child free. He's not saying, then the son is free. He's not telling Peter that this is just for him, but he actually states it plural. So what? He states it plural. So then he can show Peter, which I don't believe was revealed at the time, but is being revealed now, that what? That not just Christ was free of the tribute, but the children of the King are free as well. Whether you know it this morning or not, you are free. The Bible says you're free. In every type and shadow, it shows you that you are God's chosen. Well, I'm not the Son of God. I know. You're a Son of God. You're a daughter of God. Now notice this. He says, well, then are the children free. So Jesus is bringing this to Peter, and he says, don't you see? He said, you don't have to pay this. Because he said what? He said, who pays tribute to the kings? The strangers or the children? And Jesus says, I'm saying this so many times because I don't think you're picking up with me for the most part. But he says, yeah. He said, the children don't have to pay the tribute. The children are entirely exempt from paying tribute
for the service of the tabernacle. Now notice how Jesus backs this up in Matthew 17:27. He says, notwithstanding, so basically just because you did it, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me. For me? The scripture says, for me and thee. So he's exempting not just himself from the tribute, but he's saying, Peter, you also don't have to pay this tribute. Notice, lest we should offend them. Why? Because the children are just as free. Don't you realize that Peter already said, thou art the Christ? He was already under the atonement. Remember, Jesus died for your sins before the foundation of the world. But don't you get it? You also died with him. You also accepted that before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah! So now, let's add a little lovely twist to this, if you'd like. So notice this. He says, the children are free. He said, if you are the child of this king, then you're free. Now, remember, as I told you to hold to your mind, when we read Exodus 30:11-16, we found out that the Scripture said, those are numbered. Those that are numbered pay the tribute. Those that are numbered. Numbered? What does that mean? Numbers 147. Notice what Jesus says here. He says, but the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers, were not numbered among them. Woo! For the Lord had spoken unto Moses, saying, only thou shalt not number the tribe of Levi, neither take the sum of them among the children of Israel. He says, but thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony. Wait a minute! So the Levites' position was not to pay, but was to be under service. He says, over the tabernacle of testimony and over all the vessels thereof and over all things that belong to it. They are literally in the service of all God's possessions. They shall bear the tabernacle. You bear the tabernacle. This is your house of service. This is the house of God which you serve at, which you come to. Oh, hallelujah. You don't think we can tell if you want to serve here or not? Come on. Now notice, he says, and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it. And they shall encamp round about the tabernacle. This is your existence. This is your calling. I know. We're back to the, oh, he's rebuking me. You're missing the whole point. It says, and when the tabernacle setteth forward, the Levites shall take it down. When the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. The stranger. Who even come up to it would lose his life. Don't you understand how precious you are to God? You are literally specially hand-picked from God to be His priest on the earth. And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp and every man by his own standard throughout their host. So everybody else, they do what they got to do. And they're even called the strangers. The Levites were the ones that weren't numbered. Okay, brother. I know a lot of you are picking up what I'm talking about now. But notice, so Jesus says that the children of the king are free as well. And according to the tribute, Jesus ain't just making something up, but he said, I am here to what? To bring forth a priesthood. And he said to Peter, Peter, you're a child of this tabernacle. You are free. You don't have to pay tribute. Peter was called in the service for that temple. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. So notice, the children are free. You don't have to pay the price. The price you pay is in serving your God. So, let's go ahead 2,000 years. So now you find yourself saying, am I free? Well, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. You're trying to allot yourself under the tribute. But your tribute, your price for the atonement, you don't have to pay. Christ already paid the atonement for you. So what? All God asks you is that you what? You serve Him. I feel so free. I'm free. Don't you understand that? Oh, Brother Candy, you do this wrong and that wrong. I know, God forgive me. It doesn't matter though, because I'm free. I'm not trying to offend any of you. Honest to God, I don't have one spiteful bone against anyone here. I'm going somewhere. I am going somewhere. But don't you realize that a root of bitterness takes you out? I'm coming. But yet, this is what I want you to see. Jesus told Peter, law is gone for you. Notice what he's telling Peter here. He didn't say, Peter, you have to pay me. Catch the dispensation change. Christ wasn't doing away with a tribute to the temple and placing it on himself, but he was literally completely doing away with it. But what was Peter's tribute to Jesus? He said, Peter, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What was the price? The price he had to pay was to follow Jesus Christ. Notice, Peter, how many times you see him failing? How many times you see him doing things that we would call stupid? But yet, in God's mind, he was perfectly following him. Can't you see it, church? Peter was already in the Beloved. God seen he would receive the Holy Ghost. God seen that Peter would be one of the elders around the throne. He was chosen. He was redeemed. The price was paid. Notice what Peter said, though. When Jesus said that in John 6, he said, will you also go away? He said, but where can I go? I'm a Levite. Who else has the words of life? You ready? Let's go to John 8:31. Notice that's why God doesn't say there's 144,000 Gentiles coming out in the Gentile dispensation. He says, whosoever shall come, let him come. What? For the promise is unto them, to all them that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Because when he called the people to the service of this tabernacle, the tabernacle of Jesus Christ, he didn't number it. Because he wasn't calling someone to pay tribute. He was calling the Levites. He was calling the kings. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. You're free. You can enjoy the world. Oh, you say he's preaching against me. Put it under the blood. Make it right and be free. If you got a problem with somebody, what? Go make it right and be free. Freedom is yours. You're putting yourself back under the tribute. Don't you realize that? Anything less than the upper room here, you're under tribute. Don't you realize what the Pentecost was? It was Jubilee. The Jubilee. Every 50 years, anyone that had bad luck, anyone that lost everything they had and they went into slavery, they had that ability at the trumpet of Jubilee to go free. If they were part of Israel, they could what? They could regain their inheritance. The master said, oh no, you got to serve another day. No, it was the Jubilee. You throw your plow down, you throw your rake down, and you say, I hear the trumpet. The trumpet set me free. You're free today. You should be happy today. Because the Jubilee wasn't just 2,000 years ago. It's every day that you can get into the presence of God. I die daily. You're renewed by the transforming of your mind. Now let me show you our problem. You're going to like this. I got this one before I even got to the commentators. John 8:31 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." So what did he say? If you stay with the word, it shows that you're my disciple. Continue. Whoa, 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 whoa. If you're perfect, then you're my disciples. He said, if you continue in my word. He didn't say that you have to be perfect, because remember, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're perfect. It matters that you've accepted the perfect one. Hallelujah. So notice what he says. And ye shall know the truth. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And the truth shall make you free. So, what is staying with the word about? Notice what he says. He says, if you continue in the word, then you're my disciples. But he says, ye shall know the truth. And the truth of that word will set you into a position that you're free. You see, what is the problem of this day? In Amos 8, they'll go to and fro looking for the word of God. Yeah, Brother Campbell got it. Oh, no, it ain't here. It ain't here. Well, no, but the problem is you're still basing it on a man and not the word of God. Why are you here? Because God put you here. But think about it even a little deeper. How God transferred you from one ministry to another, and then to another, and then to another. But what? Many times you're judging the ministry by the man instead of judging the ministry by the word. But if you judge the word, it's the word that sets you free. It's not the pastor. It's not your brother or sister. You've got to accept the word. You've got to sit under the preaching of the Holy Ghost. And then he'll set you free. Now notice this. You're going to love this. The scripture says in John 8:33, and they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. Notice this. And we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Blows me away. Absolutely blows me away. Here we have Jesus confronting the religious. And he tells them that I'm the only way. If you listen to what I'm saying, you'll be free. What is he doing? He's coming and trying to take them from tribute. He's saying, I am the Messiah. I am God. I will make you free. And notice what they say. They say, we are Abraham's seed. And we're never in bondage to any man. Do you realize the blatant lie of this? They were under bondage in Egypt. They were under bondage at the end of the book of Joshua. They were under bondage almost all the years of the king, outside of David's deliverance and Solomon. Under bondage, in and out of bondage, 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 bondage. They were never anything but under bondage. But here they have a man, once again, trying to set them free, just like the prophets tried to set them free. And here, God brings it to them and says, this is it. I'm here. The Messiah, the one you've been wanting to hear from, here I am. And they said, no, no, you're trying to put us under bondage. We've never even been in bondage. Wow. Notice the problem. They were sitting there under the law. Even at this time, under the Roman bondage. Right. Sitting under it right there. They were under the law right there. And Jesus said, I'm here to make you free. And they said, but we're already free. What? They had completely took a false notion of their freedom. The Word was trying to get headship. But they said, well, I've already got the right headship. They were satisfied with being in bondage. Hallelujah. They were satisfied with the condition of the church. When the very Word itself was there trying to change what? Bondage to freedom. The church was still sitting in bondage. But what? Instead of trying to just accept the truth, accept the Word, they said, we're already free. I've always been free. We walk around with never a smile on my face. I'm free. Come serve this Jesus I found.
Yeah. Mom.
You sit here, I'm so free. Then you do all your worldly stuff. You worship your phone. You worship everything else. You say, oh, I'm free already. But what you don't understand is that Jesus was trying to take them through the process. He was trying to birth them into the truth, because only the truth of the Word being applied, could set them fully free. So Jesus answered them. Now notice how Jesus answers them here. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So now, here he tells them. Now realize this. God's command to Israel was that you'd be in your promised land and you would rule over everyone. And here they were in their promised land being ruled over. And they're saying, yeah, we're already free. And Jesus changes it now a little bit and says, well, remember, you're not free if you're a servant of sin.
Right. Right.
Says, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth. Notice the Son is a capital S.
Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
So what is he doing here? Now notice 36 verse. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. What's he saying? He said the Son has to make you free. What is he saying? You don't need to pay him money. You don't need to lie about it. Just accept it. I am here to free you. I am the price for atonement. Jesus Christ paid the atonement. And now he's telling them, I'm here and I'm here to pay your atonement so you don't have to pay it. Of course, he makes himself to be God and they want to kill him. Notice where you're seated at now. Where are you at? Are you free? Oh boy, are we quiet. You expect it to go this way? Keep me jumping, brother. You should be jumping. Should be happy. Should be excited. Now notice, if we could, let's go to Romans 6, 17. I'm going to try to get done pretty quick here so we can move into communion. He says in Romans 6, 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. What did they accept? What did they obey? The truth, the doctrine that was delivered. Hosanna. It says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Okay? He's speaking, why? He's speaking after the manner of men because of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. Oh, hallelujah. Even so now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Yeah. If you like the world, you're free from righteousness because you're not one of God's children yet. You might be in his mind, but you don't know it yet. So notice, what fruit had ye then in those things which ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. The things that you used to do. How many can say, there's things I used to do that Christ has delivered me from? It's a good start. Praise God. He said, but now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Romans 8:1. Where was the fruit, free gift? The scripture says in Romans 5, it says what? It says, by one man you were made free. Not by yourself. Not by anything you've done. You are made free. Notice 8:1. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. You're not condemned. I'd half of you raise your hands that I don't do a lot of things I used to do. What did that? Did you do that? Or did someone else do that? Did the God that you chose to serve do that? That's what you have to identify today. Because remember, how did you overcome that? The Scripture said you yielded yourself to become servants of righteousness. But you're not all the way there. Yes, you're not all the way there. You're still yielding yourself to righteousness. Don't worry. The end of the journey is on its way. Notice, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law? I'm not even under a law, a natural law. But you said it's a commandment to take communion. It is. But you don't do that because a church does that. You do that because you love the one who told you to do it. Every one of you. I haven't been that long. Oh, brother, you're tearing me up. I'm tearing you up. Wait till you see what God calls you. 1 Corinthians 7:20. I'm going to go a little bit farther. Come on, then we're going to jump right into communion. Hold on. I'm almost there. Look at how free you're acting. You're not under tribute. Ain't nobody smiling. Half the people are smiling. Half the people look at me like, what are you doing? I'm not going to be happy until everybody's smiling. I want to see people free. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 7:20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. Don't care if God made you rich, poor, or servant, or slave. Look. But if thou mayest be free, use it rather. Okay? Now notice this. He says, for he that is called in the Lord. So he's talking about those called in the service of the Lord. Look at this. Being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. So Paul, what? He says, be content how you are. But he says, don't you even understand that a servant of Christ, they are the Lord's freemen. Do you know what a free man is? Well, somebody who's free. No, not exactly. Yes, kind of. But yet a free man is one who is under a bondage. You can't be a free man until you leave bondage. So God says, you're not just a servant, but you're sitting here right now. You are the Lord's free man. You get how free you are today. All God asks for you to do is accept what you are. You're a sinner saved by grace. You're not even under the law. You're only under the law of the Spirit. You're free. Now, let me touch one more point. We're done. So, how free do you feel? I feel tired.
So you're the servant of fatigue?
I'm the servant of a liberated relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't pray like I'm supposed to, but I'm doing a service. I'm doing the best I can. I'm sitting under the Word. I'm eating the Word. The truth will make me fully free.
So how do you know whether what you're showing today is real or it's false? I want you to look at a rebuke here. Oh, no. It's all right. Ain't nobody smiling anymore anyway. Couple.
Notice 1 Peter 2:15.
I want you to understand this. If you can see this, this will greatly help you.
Because notice what this is to. This is to the church. This ain't to the world. This is to the church. Now notice what he says in the 15th verse. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men by doing good things. Now notice this. As free. He says you're supposed to do good things. Like you're free. Catch this very quickly with me. If you're free, you act like you're free. A slave that's under bondage, they're not, what? They're rarely a giving tithe because they're under bondage. They're rarely happy because they're under a bondage. Now, I'm talking about a spiritual freedom here, as well as your natural too. Because if you're free, you'll do everything you can to show you're free. Because what? Your freedom was what? It was a good work of God promoted to you. It was God doing something great for you. So what? God showed He made you free by doing something for you. He gave you a gift of freedom. So now Paul's saying, but if you're free, you'll be well doing. Why? Because good comes from good. Amen. It's that simple.
I know how I want to say it. I don't know if it's getting to you, but it is. Now notice this. It says, as free. So you have well-doing because you're free. Continue. And not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. This is good. But as the servants of God. So how do you know whether you're free or in bondage?
Should be doing good things for people, doing things. And remember the scripture says, especially unto the brethren. Right?
But yet, look at this. He says, not using a cloak of maliciousness. What is maliciousness? Coming from the word malice, it means what? It's the Greek word kakeia. It means more than our word malicious does, for it denotes evil of any kind or of all kinds. Not using your liberty for a cloak. So where does it tell you to use your liberty? Now let me show. I wish I could get this to you. I wish I could really get this to you. Because I'm seeing it. I'm not in the middle of it. God help me.
Do you realize that these people were so free that they just started doing anything they wanted to? Doesn't say they weren't happy. Doesn't say that they weren't even productive. But now he's saying that they were using their liberty for a cloak. Do you realize the freedom that you should have right now? You should be so free. You should be under the mindset that I can do anything I want, whenever I want. I'm free. You should be so happy, so easygoing. You should say, oh God, I could just come right back to the house of God after this. This is great. But notice they had such a freedom that Satan was able to get in there and to get them to do worldly things. Evil maliciousness. He was getting them to do evil things because they were free. But they're saying, well, I'm free. I'm that free. So how do you know if this applies to you? Well, don't you understand what maliciousness brings you? It takes your freedom away. It takes your well-doing away. It takes your happiness away. So when you're sitting here and you're not compelled to do good things, you're not compelled to show everyone Jesus Christ from you. You're showing that what? Well, I'm a Christian. But you're showing that you've allowed evil to be cloaked by your liberty. And notice, Paul said it was the well-doing as free. When your works die up, you've got evil there. I wish I could say this. I feel like I'm not getting this right as far as how I want to get it to you. But you are so free today that if your desire is not to do evil, this is how I want to say it. If your desire is not to do evil, to cloak evil, hide evil. Well, I want to do bad things. He was saying they're using their liberty for something to hide sin. It was basically a pass saying I can do whatever I want. But the desire, it was linked back to the desire. The desire of a free man is not that you're perfect, but just in the fact that you're not trying to cloak something. You see that? How do you know you should be free? Because I don't want to sin. Because they were using the liberty to cloak. So if your desire is not to cloak, you're free. You're acceptable. Well, how many of you want to sin? Oh, God knows I want to get out of here and I want to sin right away. But notice, you are completely free in the liberty until your desire becomes to hide that sin. Let me give a little proof of that. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. You've been called to be free. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't you understand motives here? Aren't you getting it? You're rebuking me, brother. No, don't you see it? This frees you. Because what? Your sin is when you try to use your liberty to do what you want to do. But you're still caught that you're condemned, so you can't do it. As far as you can't please God. But the only way you can't please God is when you use your liberty as an occasion to sin. You are free as free can be until you say, okay, I'm doing what I want to do. I know this is wrong. You got the Holy Ghost and you're doing some stuff. You know that the Holy Ghost tells you it's wrong. And what? You're free until you do what that says. Then when am I free? When you say, God, forgive me, and you move on. You're not under tribute. Oh, I got to go back and give my heart to God again and say, God, I need this, I need that. No, you're already free. You've already been set free. Notice what they told him there. Peter, Paul. Did they say, oh, and by the way, you're out of the household of God. You're a sinner. No, he's exhorting him. Okay, you're using liberty to sin. So don't do it. We should be the happiest people in the world. I wish I could get this to you. I feel like I've not made it all the way. So notice, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So Peter backs up Paul. They're the same. They have the same thought. So all you do is keep on loving each other. Do nice things for each other. Do nice things for the people in the world. Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All the law? Because what are you showing? You're showing how free you are. God, if I could only serve you better, if I could only be a better Christian, I'm such a bad sinner. How are you a sinner? Has not the atonement paid your price? Has not God set you free? Has not God done the work for you? See how simple this is? But what pulls you back under the bondage? He pointed at me. I pointed at myself too. What puts you under the bondage? When you bring it right back to a law. Some of you say, well, I haven't took communion. I haven't made no effort. Okay? So what do you do? I got rebuked today. I'm such a wicked sinner. Say, God, I'm sorry. I'm free again. God, I haven't been faithful to the house of God. I'm not coming to prayer. I'm not coming to this. Or I'm not being nice to people. I got a problem with a brother. I got a problem with this. I got a problem with a sister. Yeah? Yeah? Well, do you want to be free? It's going to take 15 weeks, you know. There's a program you got to do. Jesus was the program. Jesus was the reason. Jesus was the tribute paid. He paid the tribute for your atonement. Oh God, let us be optimists. We say, this is so awesome. I love this word. I absolutely love it. I don't like all of you. Well, you know, I got three types of believers here. It's not my mindset. Because if I call one of you a devil, that means I got a root of bitterness up in me. Well, you know, they never were real Christians. So I'm putting you under the law. I put you under the rebuke or the exhortation that, yeah, step it up. I need to step it up too. But Brother Cam, you've been such a bad pastor. What about you? You've been a good Christian? So wait, you're showing you're a good Christian by having a root of bitterness against somebody and not coming to the house of God, not being faithful to your post of duty, not being good to everyone. I'm a sinner. Let me say it like this. I was a sinner. Just made some things right a little bit ago. I'm free. But Brother Cam, you've done all this bad stuff and this is da 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 da. No, I haven't. I say, oh, I did. Oh, forgive me, brother and sister. Let's get this right. I'm free again. I'm free. Look how free I am. There's nothing binding me. There's no one binding me. Hallelujah. Everyone that's left this church, I said, you have a problem with me. Oh, no, 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 we love you. You know what? I know they had a problem with me. But I put the ball in their court. Just like when we leave this church, just like when we do anywhere else, it's not just me, it's you too. Oh, no, you didn't do anything wrong. Well, forgive me if I did. Well, okay. I know they didn't forgive me. It's okay, because they've accepted the bondage. I have set myself free. My problem ain't with others. My problem's with me. My problem is my revelation of myself. Yeah, because I sin all the time. I know, you do too. Oh, hallelujah. How can't you want to take communion? I've come under this fellowship. Communion is freedom. I'm remembering the work that He did to set me free. Yeah, I know. It's that simple. But at the end of the day, I'm that free. The atonement's been made. The tribute has been paid. Now, where my freedom comes is when I see that I'm a priest. See, the problem is you're still numbering yourself with a stranger. I still got to pay a tribute. Oh, why? You imagine a Levite saying, yeah, I think I'd rather pay the tribute with Dan and Ephraim. Oh, no. I'm a Levite. Price paid. Price paid. I'm free. I'm following the truth. I'm not perfect, yes, but the truth shall make you free. But brother, I'm always doing bad stuff. I know. Make it right. Is it a cloak? Are you begging to sin every day? God, I'm sinning because I'm free. Tell me, when has that motive struck you? I'm sinning because I'm free. I ain't got no hands up. So what does that mean? Those scriptures don't apply to you. Which means what? You're free. That's how I wanted to say it way back there, and I finally got it out. Your motives are not to sin. Let's do it again. Just be bold. How many say, I want to sin today? I'm begging to sin. I want to sin all day long. I want to serve Satan. I want to do everything I can to please him. Oh, come on. Not one person? Nobody here wants to serve Satan? But how many of us would say, well, you know, God will forgive my sins. I can just get away with this one time. Let me say it like this. I can just get away with this one time again. You do it, God, forgive me again. You're using your Christian crutch to sin. You love God? Let's just stand. I know I held you a little bit long. It's okay. We got one service. We'll try not to be too long with communion. But do you love God? I thought for sure I may be jumping and shouting John at the end of this one. I kind of thought that. But I know how things are on Sunday morning. I was hoping it would be because I feel so free right now, church. I know that the only time that I sin is when it comes to me and it tempts me and I do it. I don't have a preconceived notion I'm going to sin all day long now and I'm just going to do wicked stuff. But I just allow Satan to come to me and the devil to come to me and say, well, you know you want to do this. You've always done it. You might as well just keep yourself there. I know that that's all I got. So I say, God, forgive me. You know it's not in my heart to sin. I don't want to do it. God says, okay. Are you saying you want forgiveness? Yeah. Well, I need forgiveness. God, help me. Take that desire away. And all he said was, if you're my disciple, stay in the truth. Just stay in the truth of the word. Don't worry. Iniquity will abound. But I'm coming. You love God? Praise God. How many would like to say this morning, this afternoon, like to say, God, I want to be free. God, I can see by the word that I'm free. I can see the scripture outright saying, I am free. But God, I want a revelation of that. I want a spirit and a law of that spirit that works in me, that shows me what love is, that shows me what well-doing is, that shows me what it's like to be free. So I'm saying this. How many would like to say, God, I want a Holy Ghost that can make me free? I want to be more free than I've ever been before. How many like to say, God, And there's things that I've done and I'm always doing and I keep on doing. But God, you know it's in my heart. I don't want to do that. But the devil just keeps on working me. And Lord, I want to yield it to you right now. I have to yield my members to righteousness. And God, these ones have not been overcome yet. But today, I want to bring them to you, God. And Lord, I want you to forgive me, God, and set me free, God. I believe that. Amen? Let's just pray. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God. You see the hands, oh God, that have went before you, Lord. Lord, I preach a little bit, God. But Lord, I just ask, God, today, Lord, the word that was spoken, God. Lord, may it touch the hearts of the children, Lord. May they, oh God, get tired of blaming themselves, putting themselves under law, and see how free the blood of Jesus Christ makes them, God. Lord, free me, God. Free this church, God. And Lord, move us into the liberty of this Holy Ghost, God. I feel, God, that that's where we're lacking so much, is the Holy Ghost made us free and we just don't accept it. We're trying to make ourselves strangers instead of priests. And God, Lord, I want to feel like a priest today, God, bringing forth the praises of God, bringing forth the love of God. Lord, reveal it to us, God. I pray, oh God, you just do it today, Lord. And Lord, bring us nigh to thee, God, that, Lord, we might enjoy, Lord, this fellowship that's so divine. We might do good to one another, do good to the world, Lord, and show them the hope that's within us, God. We just pray, God, you'd forgive us, oh God, for allowing Satan to bring revelations that are contrary to this word. And God, thank you for saying that we're not condemned, but we're free, God. We just love you with all our hearts and say in the name of Jesus Christ, we believe and say, amen. Amen. Let's pull out our Bibles, if we could. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. We get into communion. If you don't feel led to take communion after we read these scriptures, you're free to leave. But if you feel led, and you feel like you're right with God, then do it. But as you see what we read here, you understand how important this is. 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come." I'm showing the Lord's death today. Hallelujah. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." You're guilty if you take this unworthily. "For this cause many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep." Meaning what? Make sure everything's right with God before you do this. Make sure everything's right with a brother or sister before this is done. Praise God. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." I'm reading that again. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come." Amen. Those who are partaking in communion, we just like to ask you to come forward at this time. We're going to do a little semicircle. Get Sister Clara involved in the act. Amen.
song, Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. A. That song, Worthy is the Lamb. And thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave. Thank you for this love, Lord. song, Your Great Name.
Lost I sing, find their way. Yeah.
song, as we're dismissed, let's sing the song, Thank God I Am Free. Amen. Thank God I Am Free. For a long time I traveled.
For a long time I traveled.